Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 108 of season 2. Jeff D. Lowe, Ken Jack, Gooch, and Chris Castellani coming at you, talking a Disney live-action movie again. And Succession finale, it's over. Yeah, but this is not as bad as Pinocchio. I mean, this is like, Pinocchio was, Chris, you're going to be way, I think you're going to be way against us. I don't think we share this. I think we might be far on the spectrum there. But it's better than Pinocchio. I mean,
so am I.
Pinocchio was.
Come on, man. Come on.
Pinocchio was very. Pinocchio was very fucking bad, though. Jeez. Like, we should establish that off the top.
Well, yes.
This felt like a movie, though, right? Like that. I don't think Pinocchio ever felt like that felt like a thing they made, and they're like, "Yo, fuck." I mean, you just got to get this out.
I mean, there's like decapitation videos that are technically real movies. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm gonna praise them. You know,
I've correct. Seen him, but Dagestan. I mean, I don't think we're gonna good praise work. Little. But Pinocchio, yeah, this did we'll make talk. Me appreciate how much I hated Pinocchio.
Oh, Pinocchio, you.
I can't so remember what Tom stupid. Hanks' voice
it was Tom
was
Hanks
that.
Doing another dumbass accent for like
oh,
for who?
Pinocchio. By the way, I was at Harvard this past weekend for Harvard graduation. Didn't get in, so didn't see Tom Hanks in person. He gave the most boring fucking commencement speech I've ever heard in my life. For a world travel guy, for a guy that likes to gobble up time on interviews, he tried to give sage wisdom, and there were people who went up on stage and did like a little. I don't know, like a little creative Harvard-y thing, and they reference all his roles, and he could not have looked more disgusted. He was basically like don't fucking reference my movie. This was his face slam. He was like this. He's like, huh? Like surprised people referenced that he played Woody and Forrest. He didn't even drop. He dropped zero movie references in his speech. That's kind of come on.
I bet you guys
you gotta
have
dance a little bit.
You guys have big dreams, huh? You want to live out in the burbs? Wanna just keep going down the list? You not even like
there's a real boys
ones.
Now.
Yeah, I bet your name's Turner and your name's Hooch.
He only references A Man Called Otto, and then that fucking submarine movie.
You got Greyhound.
Greyhound.
I got a cat.
You know, just like my movie Greyhound on Apple TV Plus that I'm sure everyone here saw.
Oh, Pinocchio.
We'll talk Little Mermaid.
Just like my movie, The Circle. That should have been the one he referenced. my hit Apple TV Plus movie, The Circle. Or was it Apple TV? I don't know.
You all may get tech jobs. Like from my movie with Emma Watson. Where'd she go? From the Brown.
She did go to
actually,
Brown, yeah.
I almost watched The Circle on my on a flight recently.
Why
is it even an option to watch? They only have like 100 spaces for movies on there. It's kind of surprising that would even make the list.
Yeah, it was on there. I kind of wanted to watch it.
It's like the Step Brothers bit of like only 80s Billy Joel.
Yeah,
only. But it's like only Tom Hanks 60 and below on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Planes should have to there should be an auction. They have to bid for movies.
It is very uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable, but when like they put on like award winning movies like on a flight. It's like, who was watching this?
Oh, I watched something where I skipped through. I thought they were going to censor it. I was like, what the fuck? Oh, man, what did I just watch? I watched a very recent movie, and there was like,
oh, this graphic
they left
sex
everything
scene
in
it?
American Pie Beta House?
Yeah, yeah. It was Van Wilder 2, the Rise of Taj. what was it? It was recent.
They took that one off after a certain date.
It was a recent movie, and I was like, dude, what the fuck? They don't edit this out. I did watch somebody fire up After Sun on a flight recently and turned it off in about 15 minutes. They turned on like Black Panther or something. They're like, I don't know what this is. Man, I'm gonna have to try to remember what that movie was. I didn't even watch it. It was just kind of on my screen as I was doing work. I just wanted like something up there, and it's kind of embarrassing to be the guy that quickly fast forwards through the scene. That goes,
yes.
Like, oh, shit. I was like, I don't want the plane to see that I'm watching this. Like, what? Oh, man, that's gonna piss me off. I forget what it was. Anyway, we also talked Succession. That's over. Last time we talked about that.
Lover.
I forgot how much I hate series finale discourse.
That's the worst.
And Succession is such a weird show because you wouldn't think that it would have the same like arguing and fan culture as like a Marvel movie or Star Wars, but it does. It's so weird. And like the fan theories and like the obsession with Shiv and Tom and Greg.
People are reading way too into it. way too much into the finale.
It's pretty fucking cut and dry and makes sense. Like it's not even it's one of those things too where someone we follow on Twitter quoted somebody called him like the show understander. I forget who it was. Anyway, I'm trying to remember. But my point is, they quoted someone who was talking about the show and talking about one of the characters. Like, I can't believe they set this up and did this for all these years, and this is how they paid it off. Like, what show did you watch?
What finale did you watch? Because to me, like, there were twists and turns here, obviously. But, I mean, nothing where I was like, wow, what an egregious turn for, like, this character. They betrayed this character. Like,
right. It's not a spoiler to say that they're all pieces of shit.
Yeah, no, that's been the MO.
Like, they all stink. Like, terrible. Like, I mean, first of all, Kendall killed somebody. You can just stop there. Roman, absolute dirtbag. Also, basically,
I mean, the first episode, he rips up $1 million check in a little boy's face.
Yeah. Shiv basically bullied a sexual abuse victim off the stand in a trial.
Worst feminist.
Right. Worst feminist of all time. They're all horrible. It's such an odd. It's one of the I'm happy. The show's ending at a great time. One more season would have been a disaster.
I'm sorry, but like, what was the acknowledgement of like? Were there people saying that these characters like got it too rough in the end? Like,
save that question because there's one who I do think is getting it most. Where they're like, what did they do to that person? What show did you watch for six years? How long has this been on? It's 5 years.
It's Daenerys all over again. It's the Daenerys discourse. Kinjak, did you watch Barry? Because I have not watched.
Those Barry fans are not happy.
Dude, I've been loving reading about.
It's
that,
in between because like some people try to act like they're like higher and mightier than others by being like, oh, Barry's great. You just don't get it. Like, fuck you, dude. If people don't like it, they don't like it. I personally felt really fucking rushed this entire season, honestly, but specifically this last episode. And also, like, Barry's such a weird show to try to judge or evaluate because the first two seasons of Barry are not the same show as the second two seasons of Barry. Right. So, like, it's very difficult. They're both very good individual shows. But I like Barry Part 1 more than I like Barry Part 2. And while acknowledging that both are great in their own individual senses.
I'm saying right, not because like I've seen the whole show, because you've said this. Like you've said that like it's become a very different show. And I've seen that reaction from people going, like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, season three it becomes no longer a comedy. Succession's more comedic than it at that point. Like it's very dark. It's dark as hell.
Yeah, it's just not very funny. To be frank.
I saw someone describe it as like Barry's the perfect example of like when a show creator just gets bored with what he's created, decides to do something completely different mid-show.
Which again, it's weird because the stuff that they do in the later few seasons, yeah, super dark, but like some of it's very cool. Like a lot of really cool, interesting ideas, cool camera shit, like all stuff like that. That's very interesting. It's just, I almost wish that Bill Hader, who directed a ton of this last season, just like did that with something else. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It's just, I'm excited weird.
I liked it, but it's just not. I wish it was closer to seasons one and two because they were some of the funniest television bits that I can remember from the last like 5-ish years.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah, Rachel Bilson back again. Who's after her? Dude, that was so funny. She said she lost jobs because she talked about Bill Hader's giant cock.
What jobs is she losing? No offense to Rachel Bilson.
I would love to see her like evidence of it, like a fucking showrunner's like, sorry, I was going to cast you, but then you talked about Bill Hader's big fat cock, and now I can't cast you anymore. Why?
It was just a different kind of job. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The last thing I saw her in was like season 3 of Chuck, which came out in 2011.
Like it's like you want to try and like shift the blame on your career kind of dwindling on something. Like, sure, yeah, I get it, but like that maybe was a stretch.
Yeah.
Poor Hayden Christensen out of that whole thing, by the way. Jesus.
Dude,
just I never came until I fucked Bill Hader and his big fat penis because of Hayden Christensen and his tiny balls.
Bill Hader is by all accounts like a very shy, like reserved person too. So I'm sure
he's always the shy, lanky ones you got to watch out for.
Freaks got
that hammer cocks.
Yeah. This episode,
bro, the walls went down.
Sorry.
Like Berlin.
Couldn't find the ad here on our website.
Hey, I'm Bill Hader. I've got a massive cock.
He would never say he would never admit it. And it was a terrible
impression. Just kidding.
This ad can contain R-rated content, by the way. If you want to drop another cock reference in here.
All right.
ZocDoc. That's how you find doctors in
places. I love ZocDoc.
ZocDoc's great, by the way. I didn't know this was our sponsor until just now. Took me like 15 minutes to find it there. Sorry about that. ZocDoc's the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, all available when you need them. Treat almost every condition under the sun. We're a pretty sick podcast. We have been for a long time.
I'm sick right now, bro. I don't know how. I don't know how it happened.
Your superpower is attracting illness.
Dude, and the worst part is my girlfriend's coming back from a Disney or bachelorette party of Disney adults. And tomorrow, and I'm going to get even more sick from whatever she contracted there and brought back. It's going to be even worse, bro.
I think I have the Timothy Chalamet strain of chlamydia right now. Feeling very moody.
Then. No more Dr. Roulette for you. We're scouring the internet for questionable reviews. I don't even need to read the notes here unless there's something specific I say at the end. Yeah, I do.
Best, dude.
ZocDoc's very easy. Just go on their website or their app, especially if you're in the city. Moving, too, is a big thing. If you move and go on to, like, change doctors and find things, impossible. Like, I had to go to, like, an ear doctor. I can't hear anything anymore. ZocDoc, very easy way to go do that. If you need something in a pinch, if you're in a different city, easy to schedule appointments, easy to cancel appointments, easy to reschedule, move them. Filters with your insurance. ZocDoc's, it's as simple as it gets. Go to ZocDoc, ZocDoc. .com/lights and download the ZocDoc app for free and find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many available within 24 hours, too. That's the other thing. Very speedy. That's ZocDoc.com/lights, LIGHTS, ZocDoc.com/lights. Great way to get a doctor. I've been using it for a year. Been in the city for like 10 years, ever since I first heard about it, which I don't know how long I've used it, but it's been a while. It's probably 7-8 years, probably as long as they've been around. All right, movie news. Before we talk about Succession here, what do we say we're going to talk about first? The Barbie trailer.
Hell yeah.
Full trailer for Barbie from Greta Gerwig comes out July
2nd week in July.
Something like that, 12th or 14th. It's around there. Same day, still is Oppenheimer. We got a more full trailer figuring out what happens. Barbie, as we expected, not anything surprising. You could kind of figure out this was what the plot of the movie was going to be. Barbie, weird things start happening to her, and she gets a chance to make the choice to go into the real world. And then Mattel, led by their CEO, played by Will Ferrell, are trying to find a way to put Barbie back into the toy land. She's going to break the norms and all that. And makes sense. I think that's the best way to do this movie, other than make it just like something that it's just like the Barbie universe. It's going to pool parties and shit. Like it's a cool way to do it. It's very similar to the Lego movie, right? You talk about,
Will Ferrell's playing the same exact character.
Yeah. Right. The same thing. Just, talking about, imagination and growing up and, you know, conforming and being different, all that. So a lot of those same lines, it's a smart way to redo this or to kind of take that story and do it with a different character. I don't know. I'm still excited for it. Looked trailer's funny. I trust Greta Gerwig. I'm excited to see it. I hope it does well. It's had enough pub and hype that I hope it does well.
Oh, it's absolutely going to do well.
I mean, critically speaking, like I hope like people like it.
I think it'll
make a shitload of money.
I think it'll be divisive, yes, both critically and commercially. I think just you're either going to get it or you're, I don't want to say get it or not get it. You're either going to be in on it or you're not going to be in on it. Cause it's very clearly going to, I mean, those massive set pieces when they're like going through, it almost looks like that Ari Aster sequence,
yeah,
where they're going through the big backdrops and it's, you know, just heavily stylized, very satirical. I mean, I just think I know I'm going to love it, but I could see some people fucking hating it.
Yeah, I think we can all agree there is, no matter what, there is more effort put into this than a Barbie movie should ever have. Like the production value on this, it's probably going to be like, it looks Oscar caliber, like in terms of like the set design and production value. I think the cast is going to be really good. I haven't laughed once during any of these trailers. Like I feel like these are jokes that like I'm out, like I'm missing something. Like I should know these people in order to understand these jokes. I haven't laughed. I feel like maybe I'm missing this. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a miserable fuck, but I have not laughed watching the trailers.
Yeah. You mean like the Gosling thing at the end that I chuckled pretty hard at Gosling as the doctor. I don't know. Like that's like a perfect, like Ken does every job.
I think Gosling's going to knock it out of the park.
He's so fucking funny in everything.
They're all going to be really good. I have no concerns about that. My concern is the script and this idea that I keep hearing it's like politically divisive. Huh. Which if God, give me a fucking
that's
headache.
Not, that's but, not very – that's not shocking though. I mean it's a
– No, which
– Barbie has a strong 2A stance.
I mean it's a movie about breaking social norms. So I don't – I think that doesn't – with how sensitive our culture is to everything, I'm not very surprised.
I did see someone do a full breakdown of what's her face from SNL, Kate McKinnon handing the high heel versus the Birkenstock. She said this is so lesbian coded. Like
is Kate McKinnon our new Rachel Dratch? We only give her like squirrely. Kate McKinnon hasn't played a real human being in a TV show or movie in years, dude, maybe ever.
I don't think she can anymore. She hasn't played I can't remember the last time she's played someone that's even remotely close to like non-caricature status. You know what I mean? Like she's always just like extreme, like a fucking cartoon character.
Right. She was a joke. She was not a real person in Ghostbusters. The Beatles movie yesterday. You're right. She kind of broke the movie.
She did. She was like easily the worst part. Easily.
Yeah. That was going to be my follow up. Are we sure she's a good actress?
I will, but I will know.
Early SNL, I think she's really funny. It's just like, no, it became
she's good on SNL.
This movie seems to be very minimal, though, by the way.
Yeah. So she'll be in one scene. Yeah.
That was something where, like, she was very she hit a height of being very funny in SNL, and all of a sudden they were just like, okay, let's put her in every movie and see how it works. And guess what? It doesn't work. Never does. Never does when you take that path as an actor or an actress.
And I don't really blame her for that either. I think she's directed to be weird.
Yeah, because that's her strength in SNL skits, but like that doesn't work over an hour and a half versus like a bit part of like a 2 minute long skit, you know?
Agreed. Yep.
Kristen Wiig,
spy
just for
movie
the record?
She did with Mila Kunis, that was so bad.
Yeah.
Spy Who Loved Me or something.
Spy Who Loved Me, I think was it. Yeah.
If we're talking about
horrid
SNL female cast members, Kristen Wiig seemed significantly funnier.
Oh, Kristen Wiig, but yeah.
It's Pat, great movie. Very funny.
Super funny movie.
Pat. No, I don't know. I mean, I won't be – the reaction to Barbie is what it is. Like, I think it's just like – you're just used to the – unless like all of a sudden she comes out and she's just like, check her emails. Like, I don't think it's going to be that –
That'd be very funny,
like, it's not going to be like that. I think it's just going to be like a breaking like social norms thing that where people are going to piss and shit themselves and do what they normally do where it's just like, all right, shut the fuck up.
I do have a prediction. I think it may either go even with or even pass Oppenheimer internationally. So I've been thinking about it.
Think it does too. Yeah.
It's an international brand. And when I like Oppenheimer is just an American story.
Yeah. That shit's going to make a – I think Barbie's going to make $1 billion.
I don't think Oppenheimer's going to blow up the box office in the same way that, like, I don't know, his other ones might, if that makes sense.
That was also – speaking of Oppenheimer, that was – I was at the person was with the graduate of Harvard. Their house was where JFK lived and Oppenheimer. And then it's like five photos down, it's BJ Novak. It's like president shot and killed, also relative of Ken Jack. Atomic bomb, and then just
BJ.
The guy who wrote what was the one from last year that we liked?
Vengeance.
Vengeance. Yeah, Vengeance.
BJ Novak.
Yeah. Next movie. Yeah, shout out to BJ Novak. I don't know. I'm excited for Barbie. I'm excited to do back to back.
Thrilled for it. I'm thinking about dyeing my hair. Seeing all these. Ryan Gosling did.
He looks good in that hair.
Not even just in that. In the trailer, it looks pretty good with the bleach, but that's more like on brand. Like that's more comic accurate. Comic accurate, Ken. But his his photos from Cannes were like, oh, he looks so good. He looks so fucking hot.
I think his soundtrack might be really good too. He's got a song on the soundtrack.
I bet he's got a huge cock.
Jesus.
I think was it a Dua Lipa song in the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The soundtrack, me and Ken Jack talked about it last week. I think it looks awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear his song too.
Yeah. The Gosling song. I'm just being listed like an artist is great.
Oh, I did like that too. The Barbie girl quick at the end. That kind of got it. Kind of got the juices flowing a bit.
You had to have Nikki. The Barbs will rise.
I'm excited for that. So we'll see. So Barbie comes out in July. It's going to be pretty good. Then
we should have saved this for last. Then because it had the great segue of speaking of Ken Dahl. Let's talk Succession. They would have worked. Ooh.
Yeah, you could have.
So close.
John Wick Chapter 5 confirmed to be in development. Which didn't we already know that?
I didn't think that was confirmed yet.
I thought when we reviewed John Wick 4, we were like, well, didn't they announce it like right after? We were kind of like, oh, well, I guess that
spoiled. I know the official announcement came Friday, but
okay,
maybe they did. I think this is. I mean, I'm going to watch it, but 4 just felt like the perfect wrap up.
Yeah,
it really
enough.
Did.
Thank you.
Enough. I don't know though, but can you? I get it, but also like. Can we have that much negative reaction? It's like they've all been good. They've all been great.
Exactly.
Fourth might have been the best, some people say. So it's like, all right.
There's one big thing missing in a John Wick 5 that is very important for a John Wick franchise movie, which is John Wick. And that'll be tough to replace. Retroactive spoiler alert. Like, I don't know how you'd make a John Wick 5 when Keanu is presumably not part of it, you know?
Exactly.
Well, they're also going to do something. He's obviously, I imagine he's going to come back.
John Wick 5 may just be the working title, is my theory.
Hmm.
And then they pivot to focus on Rena, what's her name?
Could it be a prequel thing too, though?
Number 5.
The Continental thing is kind of the prequel thing.
But could it be like a flashback type? I don't know. It could be.
But then what do you de-age Keanu? Like what's the idea there? Or
you could put him, if you've set something 3 or 4 years before the first one, you could theoretically, you don't have to do too much to make him look that much younger.
Mm.
That was like,
I'd see side by side to be fair though.
That was like 2014.
Of what he looked like in the last one compared to the first one. I don't know. I'm not going to, it's to a point where I can't be negative about it.
Way too early too. Obviously,
yeah, because they've just been so good.
I want something on the nobody guy, the nobody character.
Yeah.
He was really dog. Cool. Yeah. The tracker, that guy fucking ruled.
So that's John Wick. After that, related to John Wick, Halle Berry was in John Wick. She's also in X-Men, Halle Berry, Femke Janssen and James Marsden, rumored to reprise their roles as Storm, Jean Grey and Cyclops.
What's Femke Janssen been up to lately? I don't think I've seen her in a movie in like 10
nothing.
Years.
Waiting for this call.
Yeah.
It's like, come on already. Well, but that's Kelsey Grammer erasure.
Got to bring the Gram man back.
People love the Grammer beast.
He's too busy selling beer in Montauk or whatever it was he was doing. I forgot.
Yeah, he was in Atlantic. Right? Wasn't he like in Atlantic City? Like when we were in the game, like I was there. It was like, oh, you know,
selling beer.
Dude, he was so sunburned.
For New Yorkers, he did a beer signing at my local Gristiti's in New York, which if you don't live in New York, that's like bottom of the barrel grocery store in New York.
The worst. They'll charge you $8 for Hot Pockets.
You buy a box of Lucky Charms like $10.50 at a Gristiti. It's unbelievable. And Kelsey Grammer was doing like a book signing at my local one.
What was that Kelsey Grammer superhero series that Netflix made? He was in it, right? It was like Jupiter something.
Jupiter Ascending. It's one of their biggest losses of all
time.
No,
That's a movie. That's a...
I know what you're talking about.
It was something like that, and I think it was Kelsey Grammer in it, and Netflix spent like $100 million on it.
Wasn't it a meme recently?
I mean, the suits were terrible.
They're horrible, but the show, it got canceled like before they were even done, like the day after they aired the first season. Like, it was crazy.
Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the picture of the suits were crazy.
Wait, was he in that?
Was it him or was it someone else?
Kurtwood Smith was in it.
Oh, maybe that was it.
Leslie Bibb, Josh Duhamel, Matt Lanter.
Leslie Bibb was in it?
Yeah. How much? They lost a lot of money on that, right?
Tons. I think it's like one of their biggest losses of all time.
I don't have this on our sheet here, but Tarantino made a great comment about Netflix movies not being in like the cultural zeitgeist. That's not that that's like a new fresh thing that he just discovered. Like, we've all kind of said that, I think, but he is spot on.
He was really referencing like Ryan Reynolds movies, which was he pivoted from Ryan Reynolds, talking about Ryan Reynolds, straight into streaming movies, and he's like, yeah, these streaming movies, they fucking suck.
They don't exist.
They really don't, though. Like, would you talk about like the cultural landscape of cinema, would you consider Six Underground to be a part of that?
Yeah, but have him in a room with Scorsese. Like, if you have in a room Scorsese watching, would he tell Scorsese, hey, The Irishman didn't exist? Like, I don't know. Like, I would say 95% don't.
Are they any less cinema than what was the fucking Joe Coy, Easter Sunday shit? Like, I mean, is it any less cinema than that? Like,
Irishman and Roma are weird, though, because like they did get limited theater releases, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's that weird lane of just like rubber stamped, like action odd movies or comedies. Like, what was the, hold on. What is the movie? Fuck, with that stupid fucking character from Stranger Things that you hated, Ken Jack.
An action
Barb? Movie? No, like no. A comedy. It was like a high school comedy. Like Sarah Burgess Sucks or something.
It was like Sarah Burgess Sucks Ass was the name of the show or something like that.
Yeah, those are like the Kissing Booth movies. And like, I get it. I get what he's saying. You're right though, Chris. You're not that wrong. Like, it's not that much of the Joe Coy movie Easter Sunday, but there is like a weird, because even a movie we're about to talk about, like Little Mermaid, is like, it's not great by any stretch. Even if you loved it, like, I don't know what you're gonna say, it's like, that's amazing. But like, there's still like a feel to that that is so different than something like a Six Underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even just their other live action remakes that they've dropped onto streaming. Like, it's just significantly more of an experience than what was the last Peter Pan and Wendy or
the lights are. Holy shit, the lights in here are insane. The lights in here just go
on. It's so annoying, dude.
It's like there's ghouls in here.
It's all business. Pete is watching us. He is the eye in the sky. But
Supernatural.
Yeah, The Little Mermaid has like way more like of a just cinematic feel and experience to it than Peter Pan and Wendy.
I do kind of get it though, because like we're normally it'd be like TV over here and movies over here. There is a weird kind of section that's close to movies, but it's like stuff that people go, huh? Like, that exists? Like, that's a thing?
It's the $60 million budget movie. They've just relocated all those movies onto streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's odd. It's odd. But he made that comment, and he you're right. He did kind of roast Ryan Reynolds there.
I mean, like, you could almost say the same thing. Like, Fast X is an experience movie, but like, that's one where if that dropped on streaming, we would be saying the same thing about it in the same route of like a Six Underground or something like that. Kandahar. There's a movie that doesn't exist that's in theaters.
Which one?
Kandahar.
Gerard Butler.
Iconic summer moments deserve an iconic drink. Reach for Mountain Dew, an American original. From its beginnings in the foothills of Tennessee to your biggest summer yet. The refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew is the perfect companion to your American summer adventures. Enjoy the refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew. Tasting great since 48.
Look for Mountain Dew in stores near you at MountainDew.com. That's MountainDew.com.
Martin Scorsese says he has met with the Pope and we make a movie about Jesus. I've responded to the Pope's appeal to artists in the only way I know how, by imagining and writing a screenplay for a film about Jesus.
Marty, you are my favorite director. Can you make a movie about the Jesus?
Famous he is Italian
very
pope.
Much Argentinian, I think.
Famous. He was a famous Italian pope.
He lives in Italy.
We always do that with popes, though. We always give them Italian accents when we do the impression. Yeah,
in the last ones, it was like Polish, German, or Italian, Argentinian, I guess. So, but yeah, Marty, no, like I when I think about this tale. I'll say one thing about Scorsese. Silence is one of his most underrated movies. I fucking love Silence. Very underappreciated. And that's a Christianity movie, or whatever that's worth.
Right, and that was an underappreciated movie. Who's in that? Liam Neeson.
And Andrew Garfield.
Was Adam Driver in that
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, Adam Driver.
Yeah, it's for like a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a really, yeah.
I'm watching the trailer for The Idol right
He's
now.
Making a movie about Jesus.
I mean, he directed Last Temptation of Christ as well. He's done plenty of religious movies.
The Roman guards push open the tomb on the third day. They see no Jesus. Rolling Stone starts to play.
By the way, I don't know who remembers it, but do you remember the reaction to when Passion of the Christ came out?
No, I was too young.
People were like freaked out.
Very young.
People were losing their fucking minds.
Yeah,
they were passionate.
Yes, they were not pleased.
I got the Celtic stream on.
Next.
Right now, I just got a great ad.
Who would you cast as Jesus?
What ad just popped up?
Can you see this?
Best manga game. What does it say?
Best manga game?
What is a manga game?
Celtics on a very legal stream, by the way. Very legal. There's a TNT ad, actually.
Legal? How legal? Like online slot machines legal?
Yeah,
slots.
That guy that pops it. No, now it's the dude. It's like this. It's a what is it? It's the black dude behind the counter, and he's like throwing shit in a blender. Right?
Yeah, he throws. Whatever.
I tried to watch Guardians the other day. I got that.
I pay a lot of money to see movies. I also quite frequently when I will run them back illegally. Whatever.
I paid for it once.
But if you have illegally watched a movie, there is a guy I always
he's the dude.
Oh, that fucking guy. Okay, yeah, he's talking about yeah. Yes.
He's like throwing slots, poker, gambling into a blender.
Right, there's an inconsistency with what's going in there. Like,
yes.
it'll be like imaginary things, and it's like real coins, and then it's it's
and then it's so goes stupid. Off, and money just comes out, and like it's not even for a site or anything. Like, it's just like a vague commercial with no brand or anything or like place to go.
Right. No, yeah. It's always at the beginning. And then every now and then, and like a lot of times if I have this up, like I'll be doing other work too. Like it's maybe it's an older movie or maybe it's something new that I've gone and seen and I kind of want to rewatch before we go do a pod about it. Sometimes the slot noise will pop up in the middle of the movie and scare the shit out of you too.
Yeah.
You're a really quiet, emotional scene. And then it's just like, it's just slot machine noise with that guy.
Oh,
and there's always cheering. There's a You find it?
There's a full like crowd audience that cheers for him. Yeah.
Wait, where did it go? Shit, I just had it. All right, hold on. I get pulled up because there's no way they're gonna fucking copyright strike us.
Yeah, we get taken out because of them.
You're shitting me. I can't believe I found it. I just for some reason I assumed this would never be anywhere. Oh, just moved my headphones over. One sec.
Casino.
Poker?
Yeah.
Okay. Slots.
And he blends it. With the top off.
Yes.
So all the money flies out. Yeah. If you've watched a movie illegally, you've definitely seen it. Fuck. That's too good. That's news. So the lights in the studio are not supposed to be hot. They're not supposed to emit heat, I don't believe. But they're so cranked up to another level, they definitely are emitting heat. I think they're melting the plastic.
Yeah.
Me and Gooch had a very funny moment because the last pod we recorded, the hardware just shit out. Like after 22 minutes, we recorded an hour and a half, hardware shits out after the 20-minute mark. And one of our tech guys, Zim, remain nameless. And he comes up, he's like, yeah, don't worry about it, guys. It's not your fault. You don't have to feel bad. And we're like, yeah, we know. We know we don't have to feel bad. This was not us. This is your guys' fault. This is a hardware problem.
If you're watching on YouTube, my side of the room is so much brighter than yours.
Yeah. I live in the darkness. I'm a creature of the night.
All right, so Succession. Do not listen to this if you don't want it spoiled. The series is over. 4 seasons. 10 episodes this season. Great season. Wraps up, I think, personally, we'll give our take here, as well as it could have. I like the way it ended. I think it makes complete sense. I like that they didn't over-explain things. It leaves some things open for you at the end to kind of, you know, whereas, you know, Roman seems happy. Roman seems relieved, honestly. He's like, Jesus fucking Christ, thank God that's over. Kendall seems like he may jump into the Hudson River. And Shiv makes the call and makes a decision to be kind of the quote-unquote villain here, even though they all stink. And to keep the succession, ironically,
the bloodline,
which is a brutal line that Roman throws at Kendall. Like, your kids aren't even your fucking kids.
It's a bunch of fucking randos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that ends up being what seems to be the big move for Shiv. Shiv and Tom also talked at the end of the episode, like, we've said all the mean shit. We've gotten all the mean shit out of the way. Can't get much worse than that. Like, maybe, you know, and you get says maybe we can like live our lives there. And like it boils up with her, and yeah, she's going to go with Kendall, and she's not happy about it. But in the end, like, she gets to keep that company within the family, albeit a more roundabout way. And in the end, she gets to finally make a decision, right? Like, she gets to have the power for once and makes the move and makes the play. It's in her hands. So I was happy with it. I think Tom's been a ruthless character. People have talked about like his last name being, you know, a giveaway because it's related to an old like fucking World Series thing about getting 3 people out at once. Like, there's a whole TikTok here that people are throwing around there. Go look it up.
Yeah, no, I know. I saw the beginning of it, but I didn't know that's
Wamsgams. Yeah, like that's what Wamsgams means. So anyway, I think that character plays in well. I think Greg's ending is solid. I love seeing villains win in this show. I think it sets up well. I think Mattson's it just ends kind of perfectly. You know, fucking Carl and Frank Hugo. Just giggling. Hugo's done.
Done.
Hugo stinks. Get Hugo out of there.
Picnic.
A loser. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy with the way the show ended. I get why it's divisive for some people. Not everyone's going to be happy. People want to have it end their exact way. But I think it falls perfectly in line with everything that we've seen up to this point in the show. So I'm very happy.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm around the same place you're at. Where, like, everything I thought I would want to happen, I'm like, it worked the way it was supposed to work. Like, in my head, I'm like, okay, the way this works usually in reality with all of these, like, fucking giant monopolistic, like, fucking companies is the fail son takes over no matter what. And they run the company into the ground or whatever. But that's just what happens because they're so fucking stupid and they're so entitled. And they think that they own it and they can do it. And then they take over and they suck ass at it. But part of that was that they were kind of – he was – and all the kids kind of, which are all fail kids, by the way. They were semi-taking over in – I guess they kind of like wanted the Gojo deal. They didn't want it. They fucked it up. So they – in the way that I wanted them to naturally take over, at least Kendall, I guess, to take over – because it would be the most natural conclusion for one of these like fucking families that control these giant empires. I was like, them fucking it up also makes just as much sense. But I will say by the end of the episode, I was team fuck Shiv Roy. Like, I was just like, I wanted the eldest boy, or what is it, however it is Kendall put it.
I am the eldest boy.
I wanted the eldest boy to take over and to get, I don't know what the follow-up answer of that would be, but like, I would have wanted to see Kendall running into the ground so badly, but him not getting it almost makes me even happier. So, really liked it. Awesome season. Kieran Culkin, the undisputed MVP of this season. Great. He was like essentially like if this was a combined game no hitter, like he was like the last out, I guess, or like the closer on it. The whole
there's se- or so not the much whole fucking season, TV now
series. Yeah.
Right. There's so much fucking TV now that I don't know. Maybe there's someone else who'd win Best Supporting Actor, but
they might submit him as a lead.
Maybe they could. He did have like a lead.
Has enough dialogue.
I don't know. I don't know who you'd give it to over him.
He was amazing.
He's so fucking good.
And like that's the thing too, for like the evolution of the character of Roman Roy from being like almost like a laughingstock side character in the beginning that doesn't really want to be into it, but he's just kind of like a troll, to being like he actually wants it, and then, you know, not getting it and just kind of like accepting the fact, like, yeah, like what does he say at the end? He's just like, we're bullshit, it's all bullshit, whatever, blah blah blah. Like his evolution of that as a character, especially in this season, was so cool. And I think he was the undisputed star. No one's touching him except for maybe Shiv and Tom at points. And also Tom winning and bringing along Greg with him as his $400,000 personal assistant.
Yeah. Dude,
Greg slapping him was very funny.
It was.
Yeah, they're slapping each other. Yeah. I thought they stuck the landing here. I really did like this episode. I think that it's tough to finish TV shows. It is, because you have so many different arcs to wrap up, so many different characters, and you have so many people who've established in their head the way they want the series to end. But on a personal level, I loved, and I mean this as a compliment, how trashy it got. Like, I mean that like as a positive. I love the fact that these fucking up their own ass people, by the end of this thing, it devolved into them like slapping, yelling, and wrestling, like literally wrestling with each other by the end of the series. I thought that was great. And it did everything in a way that I thought was simple, but yet made sense for all the characters. And I think like any great series finale should do, I think it leaves you maybe not wanting more, but I think it's going to be one of those finales people are going to be discussing for a long time of, you know, did this character get fucked over? Did this character do the right thing? People kind of choosing sides. I think that ultimately is going to make this series endure longer than we may think. So yeah, I was intrigued from beginning to end. No complaints about the length. And yeah, I'm with you. Kieran Culkin, sensational in this season. Yeah.
I don't think they rushed anything, right? Like, no. I think it was – Again, it was all they did. I thought it was a genius move to make all the episodes the consecutive days, like yes. One day after another, because even if like the whole season concluded in a quote unquote rushed sense, because it concluded over a few days, I'm glad that they did that, because it made it all feel very natural. Like there were no crazy jumping points. Like people talk about the Game of Thrones, right? Like Game of Thrones, a lot of times like a character would take a whole fucking season to get across, you know, the map, where in those last couple of seasons, you'd be like, oh, they're just there. They just show up. Like, I think they did a good job at structuring this, so that wasn't a problem. Nothing felt rushed or unearned there.
Yeah, it's a real testament to planning your show and sticking to the fucking plan. Having a framework going in. I mean, that's what honestly killed the Game of Thrones ending, not to get sidetracked, is like, they didn't have a fucking plan. They didn't know what they were doing towards the end. Like, they ran out of source material, and then they didn't frame it the rest of the way. So everything felt at points rushed. Other shit just got deserted. I think this is the best season Succession has had, which is a high bar to clear. I think this was a damn near perfect season of television, especially on like the technical elements. Like you're not going to get better writing out of any show, honestly, almost all time. It's all time writing. Mm-hmm. Will I place it in my top 20 shows all time? Probably not. I'm just personal preference at that point. I also don't think the writers ever wrote this to be like a mass appeal. Everybody loves the way it turned out. Like they are going to write their own story, and respect the hell out of them for it. They stuck to their guns. I mean, how much will this be talked about going forward? I actually am very interested to see that. Like, does this stick in the cultural lexicon?
I think it does. I think it's a show that is enough seasons long. I think it's a show that is maybe not as punchy as like a Thrones, right? That fills in like that fantasy sci-fi hero like lane. I think it's something that people do pick up and they watch. Like I think, for example, The Wire is a great example of that. The Wire, people still pick it up and watch it. Yeah. And I think Breaking Bad is the same way, where this may not have, again, even have the appeal of those two things, which are simpler in terms of like the way they talk. Like there's business speak in this show that really is like you can love it and never understand anything they're fucking saying. So I do think maybe not as easy in that sense, but I think it will last. I think the finale will age well too. Is what people like. It's kind of how Sopranos has gone over time, right? Like over time people have just kind of accept the Sopranos ending is kind of fucking awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. I the sprint is ending is, I think, as good as it gets.
There was a point when they were in the kitchen, and I was hoping for, when they were in the kitchen at their mom's house, I was hoping for the Sopranos ending. I was like,
it'd been fucking amazing.
I was like, this is so awesome right here. This is, they're all together. They're just kind of like, they've decided on who they want to be the successor. They're happy together. They're having a good time. They love each other. And I was like, I just wish it would end here because I know something bad's
happening. Also, like, I feel like if this was done by a group of people who kind of conform to what fans like, or, you know, the cheap and easy way, you end with like a shot of Tom at the Logan's desk. Right. No, like the point of this show is the miserable side of things. Like, it's not supposed to be this like hero story at all. And it's just Kendall sitting in Battery Park looking miserable as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that he said that they had
leech
filmed
winning? That is usually what happens too. Like like Shiv had called him like the empty suit. Like without him winning, that is what happened.
that was great when he's like, Jesus and his disciples, like, even Judas is here. Like, it was just kind of a perfect, like, what a piece of shit. Yeah.
Did you see that Jeremy Strong said that they had filmed an alternate final shot there? And the final shot was going to be him jumping over that ledge in Battery Park and Colin going to stop him.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, I think that would have been weird.
Two on the nose. Again, you leave it. I think the show didn't need anything on the nose. I think the only on the nose thing that needed to happen was literally picking who wins in the end.
Yeah.
Who wins out. Also, Frank running earlier in the episode was so fucking funny. him just mad dashed like an old man down the halls. Yeah, that got me.
Also, big shout out Sarah Snook. Weirdly, her baby came today, this morning.
Oh, wow.
The bloodline.
Also, how about their mom being like, oh, Peter doesn't like the knobbies.
Peter's cheese.
that alone should give Kieran Culkin the Emmy. I'm talking about eating Peter's cheese. I was losing it. It's so fucking funny. Oh my God.
So what do you guys think, like, Shiv made? So the big discussion, the big question, I'm not going to get into like the, did they fuck Shiv's character up? Cause I don't think so at all.
That's, by the way, Chris, that's what people said. They're like, all these seasons building up this strong female character. It's like, what are you talking about?
Never watched the show.
You didn't watch the show. She's the opposite of that. Like, she was in the beginning. She started out or was supposed to be way.
No, she was like a fake, a presenting, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, presenting.
She's the worst feminist of all time. She set the women's suffrage movement got moved back 100 years by her.
Piece of shit, dude.
No, but the question online was like, when did Shiv make the decision to vote against? Like, was it right there, right then? Or was it when Carolina said, like, made that big reveal that, which kind of flew by really quick, is that Carolina was like, yeah, Hugo didn't, or we didn't, or I didn't take your name off the announcement. Like, Kendall had lied about that.
Yeah, I do think, like, I think it's kind of in that, like, quick range. And I also think it helped that she was the last vote. Like, I do think it was like a mixture of those things.
Yeah. Also, we were watching the clip. Stewie, just say no, Stewie.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I'm rolling with Kindy, baby.
Mm-hmm. It's like, Team Ken. Stewie, if I had one complaint, I wish there was more of Stewie this year. Stewie is such a good side character. Right up there with Carl, like, in Frank. There, he is always for the first time we ever see Stewie in this show is him just reaching across the counter and like picking up the cronuts and just like licking them and just stealing them for free. He is such a piece of shit. A great character in that series. Yeah, I think it was also, you also see too, she never was really convinced.
No.
Right. They had fun as a family, but she never truly was convinced that was the right move. And again, like, once like the dominoes kind of fall, the closer she gets to going back to New York, kind of having the power in the room and the lingering of her convo with Tom, which I think all makes sense. Again, like, they got all the bad shit away.
Yeah, but I've been in enough toxic relationships to know that it can only get worse. It can absolutely always get worse. Mm-hmm. What was I about to say?
She's the biggest loser because Mattson got what he wanted and her family didn't get what they wanted. So she fucked everybody up, basically. And she had got herself in a position where all of her power is now derived from her shitbag husband. So, you know what I mean? She like bumped herself down in stock, like in social stock and in power and in everything, in every possible facet. She is less powerful.
Yeah, she was much better off like standing wise, just picking Ken.
Even she was kind of fucked either way, but like she like every move she makes, she was still screwed, which is the same with basically most of them. Like, if Kendall took over, he would have fucked it up. If Roman took over, it would have all fucked up. Like, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
But again, her one upper hand now, though, she does have the bloodline.
Yeah.
People saying the bloodline, this is not a fucking monarchy. This is a publicly traded company.
Yeah, but you can, but it's easier position if it's like, if they would have brought back the fucking Valters, the Valter guy.
Kendall's illegitimate. I'm glad we got the reveal that
Kendall, what a terrible dad, by the way. Just an all-time bad dad.
In like episode 5, I didn't want to bring it up when we did our discussion, or episode 6, somewhere in that range, on the election night, when we see his kids, his daughter. I didn't want to bring it up, but that daughter was a completely different race than him.
Mm. She always has been.
Maybe I just never noticed, but I was like, finally, it's explained that this is just not
His daughter. Wow. His daughter has always
I thought it was just like a casting thing. Like,
and his son looks different than the daughter too. Like, I don't think they were adopted.
I always thought she was adopted.
Iverson.
I never put it together.
Yeah. Which is always, that'll always get me. Whenever you remember that Kendall's kid's name is Iverson.
Iverson. L to the OG.
I'm
going to
miss Kendall Roy business speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this? Marco Polo tit fucking us around the Cape of Good Hope? His fucking analogies of everything. So good. so many great moments from Ken. Also, that Valter guy was very funny. And I think it was like the first episode or whatever, but that whole episode where he basically shits all over Ken's, like right down his throat. And that just tells you everything you need to know about Ken right there is so great.
And then, but then when he tears his company down too, that's a great episode.
Yeah,
he shuts the doors on everyone. They were going to unionize. That one guy like spits at him or whatever. Yeah,
spit in his face. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Great fucking show.
Gonna miss it.
Yeah, top. I for me it is a top fiver for me. I actually tried. I said the list today, and I had a hard time. Really like Sopranos in there, West Wing.
TV's tough because like then you get like the sitcoms are just so different from your HBO program.
Right.
It's like I would put The Office and Arrested Development up there. Like
Succession
Cheers
for me,
and
Sopranos, The Wire. I think Breaking Bad is probably like 6 for me, but even Breaking Bad gets on there at 5. Succession, Sopranos, The Wire, The West Wing, which The West Wing gets a little wonky at the end because Sorkin leaves. And then for me, it's tough because I don't want to judge Arrested Development based on the later seasons. But the meat of Arrested Development, I even like the first Netflix season. I think it's very rewatchable and you pick up on a lot of dumb shit. But like the meat of Arrested Development is as good as it gets. But I think I have to put Veep. Veep never missed a beat.
So good.
Veep was
never lost Veep, any consistency, really.
That I will say, that might be the craziest thing. Like, I hope we really like, I think people do appreciate Veep. But I hope it's something that we look back on years from now and go, how the fuck did they go that many seasons and it was never not funny?
Great ending, too.
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's right. the funeral is so many great scenes in Veep.
It's. I mean, I always reference the
shit and clits.
No, well, I was going to say, the Arrested Development, when they say,
get the C word
out of here, I think that's fucking, yeah. But I do think... I've eaten so much pussy, I'm shitting clits. It is the hardest. It's the hardest. I think there's two. It's between that and Arrested Development, because actually it's not the C word thing. I didn't understand it at the time. I was too young. Mrs. Featherbottom when Tobias falls off the balcony. should I be telling your mother about this? Yeah, that gets me every fucking time.
No, I think one of the best and the ones that was easiest to understand at that time, and also one that was like. And Arrested Development was a kind of like a precursor for the type of humor that became more popular later was the dead pigeon in the bag. You know what I mean? Like that was a great example of humor that maybe in 2002 or whatever wasn't mega popular, but like that was the style of comedy for the next like I feel
him,
like 10
him,
years.
Him walking into the door with one of the animals in his coat. He's like, I don't need a bag. And he walks the door swings open rather than swings the other way and he slams into it. He's like, it's your refund policy.
Will Arnett is so good in that. Holy shit.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know Portia de Rossi is Australian? We were looking this up the other day, me and Gooch. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew she was not from the United States, yeah.
And her accent is American. Like she bred out her Australian accent, so like her regular voice is just sounds American now.
Also married to
Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen. Yeah. Noted good girl.
Succession, by the way, speaking of accents, is another one where I wish more people knew how not American Tom and Shiv are.
Yeah.
Very not.
I mean, Matthew McFadden is so British.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the fucking Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice, man. You can't get more British than that.
And think about how British his character is in Frost Nixon. Yeah. He plays the most like Beatles cover band British person of all time.
Last King, he plays one of the kings of England. Like it's crazy. Anyway,
that's Succession. I hope people liked it.
Can't wait to start talking about The Idol, baby.
Yeah. No, we're doing the White House Plumbers now.
I still haven't started it. I rewatched Invincible this last weekend. Still so goddamn good. Those last two episodes are some of my favorites.
I was glad I caught up on that. Dude, yeah.
I promise it only gets better. Like it gets so fucking good coming up. Like so.
So that is Succession. Let's talk Little Mermaid.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
The remake of the 89.
It's the first one. It's the first Disney Renaissance movie, right?
I almost said 92. That'd have been a solid 4 years. 1989, animated movie. Obviously, incredible pub and hype and critical acclaim. This one directed by Rob Marshall, who has directed some good things and some weird things. He directed Chicago in 2002, did Memoirs of a Geisha. Since then, did one of the weird Pirates of the Caribbean sequels.
I really like Memoirs of a Geisha, not for any particular reason, but I was always a fan.
and then Into the Woods, which was a fairly large letdown, also made James Corden more relevant.
Yeah, fuck him for that.
You don't like James Corden? He made Mary Poppins Return, which really wasn't. Mary Poppins Return was fine. Like I think it was a serviceable movie in some spots.
You know what? It was really good outside of the fucking Lin-Manuel Miranda.
BMX Lin-Manuel Miranda was the worst part. Chimney Sweepers movie.
and I excuse it, and I just wipe away the Meryl Streep stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, that was so bad. I forgot about Meryl Streep in that movie.
They're like, oh, let's bring in Meryl. Yeah, otherwise, Emily Blunt was so good in that. Really? She's very charming. This though is interesting. My biggest issue with this movie is the land to sea stuff. I think the CGI work in this movie and the motion capturing and the underwater stuff, it doesn't look terrible, but in comparison to when they're actually outside of the water, it makes me like, it's like I'm looking at two different things. Like, I don't think it looks awful. I think it'd be unfair to say it's awful CGI because I don't think it is, but it just doesn't, it's not seamless. And it makes me just appreciate, and you're wearing the Avatar shirt, Gooch got the Avatar shirt on. It makes me appreciate every fucking movie with water scenes in it, makes me appreciate Avatar 2 that much more.
Yep.
Because it's so seamless water to land, or even water to, like, when Ariel first pops her head out, by the way, spoiler, like, it's fucking Little Mermaid. So just,
I mean, yeah, beat for beat. Like, you've seen the Little Mermaid.
If you're upset that this has been spoiled, you need to go watch the animated movie probably. When Ariel first pops her head out of the water, it's like two different things. And it threw me off the whole movie, and I didn't love that at all. I think she's great. I think her voice is fucking incredible. She's a great singer. Not that should be – like, if you ever heard her sing before, which I think a lot of people, when she first got cast, you didn't know where you probably heard her sing the first time. She's got a great voice. I really don't hate this movie, but I think it's so average. It's just average. And I think the live action animals and sea creatures is just tough. It just doesn't work. And I'm not sure there's any way to do it unless they just wipe the slate clean and say, before, they're running out of movies anyway. They're like, they're,
what are they, What do we have left?
Hunchback of Notre Dame, baby. Oh, wait, no. They did make Quasi with the Broken Lizard. I forgot about that.
You know
what
the funny part is? Like, the ones they haven't done, I think, would work. Like, fucking Atlantis and Treasure Island. Like, those
Moana, work.
Wait. Are either of those Disney?
No, they're not, are they?
One of them. Atlantis. Atlantis was.
Yeah, Atlantis. Treasure Island's Disney, right? No, Treasure Island was, because they had toys at McDonald's.
No,
Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet.
Moana. Moana's going to be one that they're going to do live action where that's going to have animals. That's going to have sea creatures. And they just need to cartoonize it. Like, look, I get why these are made. I get what they're doing. I know they're like, do I wish that kids could just watch the animated ones and that be the movie? Yeah, but you know what? It's not the world we fucking live in, so it is what it is.
The kids like the animated movies.
I know they do, but, like, kids also like these.
Yeah, they do.
And, like, that just is what it is.
Kids would like a movie of a dancing turd. Like, that. They're not evaluator of, like, talent, you know what I mean?
My sister literally just texted me and said she has watched the Super Mario Brothers 5 times in the past week.
God.
again, my point is, like, there is a level of, like, I don't want to gatekeep this shit too hard, because in the end, like, it's definitely made. It is still made for fucking kids. It just is. There is for sure a bit of a lean towards nostalgia. So I cannot let them get away with that for sure. Like, there is a nostalgia thing at play here, but it's still for fucking kids. With that said, this is a painfully average movie. I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with it. Like, nothing really, like, offended. Like, Pinocchio upset me. It felt like there was no effort. I felt like they didn't get the fucking material, the movie. Like, it was like, what the fuck are we doing with this? This, I thought they I guess, quote unquote, respected what the original one was, right? Like, the music was still nice. Like, I think Ursula's fine. Melissa McCarthy, there's one. I'll let Gooch take it. There's one I didn't love. I think she's great as Ariel. I think Prince Eric's fine. That guy, old hair King guy. Trident. I don't know what his fucking name is. What's the actor who plays Prince Eric?
Dude, you couldn't fucking beat that information out of me.
Okay.
Isn't it Jonah?
Jonah Hauser?
Prince Eric?
Yeah, is that what it is?
It's I think that's it.
It's supposed to be. Remember, it's supposed to be Harry Styles.
Yeah, Jonah Howard King.
Jonah. Not quite.
I guess I'll believe you. I'll take your word.
There he is.
Jonah Howard handsome. King just wanted his Jonah Howard Queen.
Very good guy. Very good looking. Very good guy. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as Cinderella. I didn't like it as much as Aladdin either. I still kind of
think Aladdin was.
I think Aladdin gets way too. I think if Jafar wasn't such a pussy in that movie, I think Aladdin would have been awesome. I think Jafar Rune could have been actually awesome. I think Will Smith did a good job. So anyway, long winded. I'm going to give it a 72. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. It's fine. I don't think it's nearly as bad as I think people kind of wanted it to be. I think people wanted it to be really fucking bad.
Why?
Not just because of, like, the racial stuff. I think there are people who just wanted this movie to suck ass. That's a given. But I think people wanted this movie to be, like, really shitty and, like, didn't have an open mind. But we'll see. I don't know. I haven't even really seen too much of the reaction to it. Ken Jack. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's, like, good and bad parts about this movie, right? There's the two biggest positives are Hailee Bailey was awesome. Like, she, like you were saying, great voice. She was a fine actor. Melissa McCarthy, I think, was awesome as Ursula, for whatever that's worth. I wish I had more of her in this movie than anything else, because, like, she was, I feel like, pretty easily, which is weird to say, the strongest actor in this group, or the one that at least was trying the hardest, because Javier Bardem, dude, was just collecting a paycheck. Could not give a rat's ass.
That was the one that was teasing with Gooch. I agree.
He
stunk.
He was terrible.
Horrible.
He was awful.
He's like, I just want, give me the fucking money and get me out of here. That's all he wanted. He stunk. Like, the guy who played Eric was present. Like, that's the, I feel like, the nicest thing I could say about him. Like, he's the most unimpressionable human being I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, just gave me no impact. And everyone else, like, is just kind of there. Like the Sebastian the Crab, David Diggs, I thought was pretty well done at points. And like they did a good job. There's kind of like a weird, like, I think a lot of people kind of felt like this too, with like the moving animal mouse thing has usually been really weird. I think for some reason in this, it worked better with the crab and flounder. Flounder was not really a huge part of this movie compared to the first one, I feel like. But he was okay. Other talking animals were fine. Special effects were okay. It was way, I feel like we all got the impression from the trailers that this is going to be a very dimly lit movie, but it was pretty bright at points. It definitely could have been brighter and more colorful and something that gave you way more of like the magical feel, you know what I mean? Because even if you watch something like we were just saying, like Avatar 2, like they really capitalized on that. Like they really made you feel like that sense of like sea adventure, shit like that. And they could have done, I think, a better job of just making it a little more colorful for sure. Definitely a little desaturated. But other than that, really, like, totally fine. Like, unspectacular movie that is not special. And we had talked about this a lot with, like, live-action remakes and shit like that. Like, in my opinion, with these movies, like, no movie should have to, like, you know, justify its existence or, like, why is this being made, blah, blah, all those things. But, like, with the live-action remakes, just, like, pull the wool over my eyes. That's all I need. I know you're making this movie to cash in the IP and make a shit ton of money off of these families that are going to see it. Just pull the wool over my eyes and make me think that you're doing this for creative, like with some sort of, like, creative integrity or something like that, and make me feel like you're making something very – you're putting a shit ton of effort to make this special. And I don't think it totally got there with this, but, like, at the same time, if I had a daughter, I would take her to this in a heartbeat. Like, I feel like, or if I had a son, even, I would take it in a heartbeat. Like, it's a fun kids movie. That's what it is. Other than that, there's not really much here for an adult. I'd be at like a 69 for this one. Nice. I'm happy with a 69 on this, just below Aladdin for me. Aladdin, I think, had more to offer for both audiences and did try to do some things that were like, you know, make it their own. You know what I mean? Because you need to pay homage to the original, but you also need to find a way to make it your own.
Right.
And I think that Aladdin at least attempted that, and they succeeded.
Which is why we like Jungle Book. I think we've always referenced Jungle Book kind of does that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, 69 for me.
You guys have both said there's nothing special about it. I do feel Halle Bailey's performance. Her vocal performance, at least, was special. I think that's all time. Like,
I can agree with that.
Like, I don't know much about Chloe Talley's music. I probably listened to it's probably played on the radio and I've heard it and didn't realize. But I was not expecting that. Like when she first that first song that she hits, like Part of Your World, like she fucking belts it. Like I got chills. She was crushing it. And she crushed every single song she did. Like KJ touched on Javier Bardem. I mean, he didn't want to be there. I don't know if he knew where he was or what movie he was in, but I need way, like you said, we wanted more Ursula, less him. He really did. He barely drove the plot. Like he had made a few decisions, but like, I don't need anything. Like give me the bare minimum of him. That was just awful.
Mr. Crab, how much did you lose on a coin toss? Sebastian.
Call it head or tails. Call it.
He didn't give a rat's ass, dude. My God.
The Prince Eric character, I do feel was actually an improvement from the we lost Chris. I think the Prince Eric character was actually an improvement from the animated movie because the anime movie, much shorter, he doesn't do much there. Like he just is Prince Charming. Like he's got no personality, no backstory. They actually did I think they did a pretty good job of like giving him something. Like he actually had a reason to be invested in his character, and they had really good chemistry, I felt. Like you believe that they would fall, like they were in love with each other.
Did you get the sense when you were watching it, just curious how you guys felt about it? I felt like he looked like he was 30 and she looked like she was like 15.
Yes. I did think that.
It never made me feel like super uncomfortable or anything like that, but I feel like there was a noticeable, like, I couldn't, it's not like I could watch it and I was like, hey, I know this actor's this age, or hey, I know this actor's that age. But I was watching and I was like, I feel like they could have cast a younger dude and this would have made it fit, or younger looking guy, and it might have worked a little better.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. He's also very tall for an actor. He's 6'4".
That is gigantic for an actor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's like Yao Ming. So yeah, I think there's a few great things and then the bad things. I think it looked pretty bad underwater at points. There were some effects that were I don't know if you noticed this. It was like there was 2D animation at points. Like it was like Mary Poppins, where
really I did not.
There were a few parts where it was like that's just 2D animation right there. Like some of the fish, and then when they're in the canoe, like the little streams of water going over their head was just 2D animation. Doesn't look great. And then it ran too long for children.
It was too long.
It was too long.
It was like a half hour longer than the original,
and I hate that complaint, but it stretched out a little too far.
Yeah, it was like a half hour longer than the original, and I again, my biggest complaint is the water. I don't think it looked truly bad. I have a bad eye for that shit. I will note. Gooch and I always note we can't tell the difference between anything good and bad CGI wise. I think sometimes, but
Avatar kind of spoiled it for us, you know.
Which one?
Avatar 2 kind of spoiled it for us.
Right. The difference between ocean and land or above water really took me out of it a lot. And that was a huge issue I had with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just fine, though.
The on-land stuff I thought looked great. For that's worth where they filmed that. It looked gorgeous. That was a cool-ass castle, too.
Big Mamma Mia, here we go again vibes.
Yes.
If they film the same location.
Also, actually, my biggest complaint is that fucking Lin-Manuel Miranda song.
Thank you. That belonged
nowhere near this fucking movie. Man. That felt like Lin-Manuel Miranda's got some pull at Disney now, especially in that department.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it has for a while.
Yeah, but like he has enough power. He can be like, yeah, no, you're putting my fucking song in here.
I always reference the rap he did before Aaliyah Carvalho. I think I'm saying her name right. Performed
Wickedly Talented.
What was it called? From Moana.
And Let It Go. Or not Let It Go. Fucking
How Far I'll Go.
How far I'll go, yeah. He just went up to like a Moana rap for like 10 seconds. She's like, the fuck's this Moana? Get off the fucking stage. Like, she's singing.
Moana crushed those Oscars. She killed it.
The flag kept hitting her in the face during it.
Yeah, and she was so good, man. And I feel like I haven't seen her anything since either. She should be like a singing role for every Disney princess. She was so good.
I was surprised they didn't cast her in as the live action Moana. Nope. I just saw that.
I think she said she didn't want to or something. I might be misquoting.
Yeah, I didn't see why. I have no idea. So, she great voice though. Chris, you do seem to hate this movie.
I hate this so much. Like, just so much. I agree with you, Jeff, when you say that we often overuse the phrase unnecessary when describing movies, because I think anything can be necessary or unnecessary depending on how good or bad it is. There is zero reason for this movie to exist, and there's zero creative spark. It is baffling to me why it is so difficult to make these remakes good. It's extreme. What's up?
Sorry, my dozen. I was like, I clips up from the dozen. They're just going off. Go ahead.
Okay. It's just it's baffling to me why it's so difficult. And Ken Jack, I mean, I can't express to you how much I disagree with the idea of this being brightly lit, and it's
brighter
the big
than
issue.
The trailers that I was relatively speaking.
Okay, yes. Because I just – it's the thing I can't stand about these remakes is you take all the personality and color and just suck it out of the film. Like it's like everything that made the original charming and neat is erased here. And man, I'm sorry. Look, it is for kids, okay? And of course kids will enjoy this. And really, what am I going to do? If I can yell at the guy? No. I mean, if you want to enjoy this as a child, enjoy it. But I really think they continue. If they're going to continue making these aimed at children, which is fine, why is it over 2 hours? There is so much.
We said that as you were jumping back on. It is too long.
It is absurd to me how long it is. So, I mean, it's because it's so like carbon copy of the original. With not even a fresh coat of paint, just like more of a wet fart. I don't even know what to rate it. Like, yes, Haley Bailey is a wonderful singer, and Melissa McCarthy is good when she's in this, though I feel like she's barely in this. But this is like amateur hour to me, man.
I'm glad you said that. I think we mentioned her. I did like Melissa McCarthy. I thought that was like a. Oh my God, this light just got bright in our eyes. Maybe it's Disney's controlling the lights. I'm glad you did say that though. I did think Melissa McCarthy was fine, but you're right. I thought she'd be in it more based on how long it was. I thought we were going to get more Ursula. Like I thought that was going to be the addition there. It wasn't.
Yeah. And I'm, I, you guys are trying to defend it. And a lot of people are. I just, the animation and the CG to me is so fucking creepy and just weird looking and uncomfortable. I don't like feeling icky while I'm watching a children's movie. Like, and that's like just the way the CG is put together. It's just, yeah, of course, like Avatar spoiled us, but like, you know what? Then credit to James Cameron. He pumps a shit ton of money into his films until they look really good. I kind of wish these movies would do more of that, because it's so baffling to me that a company like Disney that has infinite money continues to put out these live action remakes that don't look good. Mulan looked fucking awful. And it's, that's the most bizarre part to me, is how cheap all this looks.
Yeah, I do think this was like brighter at least than like Lion King. I think it was at least a little more colorful than that, which was an improvement, because I do think from the trailers, they did something late in the game, clearly. Yeah,
they color corrected for sure.
They very clearly did, which that happens quite a bit in trailers. They clearly changed a bit, because I think it was trending towards being worse than Lion King in that sense. Because Lion King, outside of the grub scene, had no color.
Yeah. Zero.
And even that, I mean, the grubs were the most colorful. Kids wanted to eat the grubs watching that fucking movie. Yeah, dude. You know,
that's,
it was delicious looking.
I always say it, but that's what Boston Cream Donuts. Like, I can't eat them because it reminds me of the Lion King bugs. Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like eating to me, in my brain.
The problem is, though, Chris, like you say, if they keep doing these, but we mentioned, like, they've done them already. So it's like, it's not like, hey, they've done two, there's 50 left. What have they not done out of the big ones?
Hunchback, and they're going to do Hercules. Maybe.
Hercules, and that's a movie that needs to be bright. That movie should be. I don't know.
They'll end up doing them all. They'll end up doing Princess and the Frog. That's probably next
because they're gonna try to time that with the opening of the new Splash Mountain.
Yeah. And then they'll retroactively go back and they'll start remaking Pixar movies in live action. They'll do Toy Story in live action. They'll do Monsters, Inc. in live action. Like, it's everything will at some point just be a version of something that came before it.
I think maybe the answer for Disney moving forward is to stop attempting to make these movies look lifelike and instead just let people be artistic with it. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, find their own ways to make it look different. Don't try to make it look photorealistic to real life. Yep. You know what I mean? Because like, that's never, even if they like were able to run this through the same fucking $1 trillion Avatar machine or whatever, like, it would make it incrementally better. Like, just go let artists be artists, go crazy, make it in their own sense. Like, a great example, I guess, would be what, like, Spider-Man did, like, which we're all pumped up to see. Like, the Phil Lord, Chris Miller Spider-Man. Like, they found a different medium to make it go, present you this sort of storyline, and that's what made all the difference in that case. So, I don't know. I think that's the answer for them, but obviously they're too far gone. They need to finish basically doing this through the entire fucking catalog.
Remember when there was like they'd have those reels or TikToks, or even like it might even before fucking TikTok really blew up again after it was like changed from Musical.ly. But remember when Lion King came out and people did like the more cartoony version?
Yeah.
They dubbed over. That is where they like, if Lion King had a little more color and they were more cartoony looking, we would be talking about that movie in a much different
way. Yeah. And I still, of all of them, don't hate that one. Like, I do think
it's the one they touch the least.
Yeah, which is both good and bad. I think there's a lot of weak parts to it, but there's at least some. Maybe it's just the Timon and Pumbaa stuff. Some of the charm still intact, but it is a bizarre movie to get through.
I think the issue with Lion King maybe is the disappointment that came with that. The voices attached to that not they getting hyped to it do up
too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's which, hard I don't not know to hype like, it up. It's like fucking Beyonce. It's like here's Beyonce and. And fucking Childish Gambino and like all these incredible voice actor or actors doing voice work, which maybe for some of them was pretty rare. And like that should have been something that they maybe made something more special out of. And it just kind of wasn't.
Well, there is another one coming out
with Barry Jenkins, right. Though. That makes with me fucking a little
Barry
more.
Jenkins, who just like crazy
soundtrack on that.
I don't know.
What music do you like? Limp
Bizkit?
Because like the big thing that these movies have going for them is they have that Alan Menken background where it's like that spine, like where it's just you got this these incredible songs that are just like if you put the right voice cast in place, it's really hard to fuck up. It is truly hard to put out a catastrophe when you have like these just iconic soundtracks to work with.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It is very tough. But not all of them have that, you know, like for example, you're just talking about Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like they don't like what's the iconic song from that? You know what I mean?
Well, I think Hellfire is like the best Disney villain song, but
yeah, I think that's a, you're alone in this dais of thinking that. I believe
live action Tarzan.
Is that going to come? Was that
Gaston
the one with
having Skarsgard? The song titled after him and him talking about eating a 20 dozen eggs? That's the best Disney villain song. It basically a song that just hypes him up for being.
Okay,
the
yeah, you know
what,
you're right.
Boy.
You're right. Silver Metal. Yeah.
Was the Skarsgard Tarzan movie Disney, or is that just like a public domain?
No, that was
shit,
a public question. Domain thing, because it was not. It was like Universal or something. Did the
yeah? So Tarzan's another one. Phil Collins songs. Hercules got some Michael Bolton in there. Those are, and then Hercules, yeah.
Dude, that's going to be a tough, like,
I don't trust any of it anymore, I will say. I don't trust
Aaron
it to be beyond his average.
Officially for Meg in that, I think. Right? Like Aaron Agronis,
great,
I know, wanted
to be a great cast.
She did played Meg in, when they did, like, the Hercules, like, you remember they over COVID, they did those, like, reimaginings? Yeah. She was Meg in that and was awesome and everyone liked it. And she's always wanted to be her. I thought that they had tapped her for sure, but I don't know. I feel like it's tough with actual musicians because of like the tour dates and all that shit.
Wasn't she rumored early for this? For Little Mermaid?
Ariana Grande, might have been a fan casting.
Maybe that's
why I misheard you there. Yeah, no, yeah, I don't. Harry Styles was supposed to play Eric.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to do darker movies. Ironically, this would have been like one of his better movies.
that's compared to Don't Worry, Darling.
The fucking policeman.
And then next week, Spider-Man Across... We're actually seeing Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse tomorrow night.
That's right.
That's next week.
Yeah, June 2nd.
They got to stop dropping clips online. I've stopped clicking.
I haven't watched anything on purpose. I heard apparently there's a lot of spoilerly, like, hey, don't mention anything. A
ton of stuff.
Cray, by the way. Also, the Boogeyman coming out.
That looks awesome.
That's right.
Like, I really want to see Boogeyman. By the way, careful, but... Flash, there's a lot of Flash spoilers for cameos. There are some wild things that happen in that fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Like jaw-dropping. And I don't even mean like, oh, X is in the movie? Like that person's in it? No, like, I was like, that they're doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Crazy. So I'm very excited for Flash for many reasons. People seem to like it though.
Yeah.
You know what I watched last week? This is actually just pivoting completely away from The Flash. I watched Platonic on Apple TV. Mm. Very funny. If anybody's, I've got a new watch.
Better than Ghosted?
Way better than Ghosted.
Wow.
I laughed. Low bar. One time. So, yeah.
What's the best movie we've seen this year?
John Wick 4 for me.
I like Creed 3.
Really like Blackberry. Also, really liked You Hurt My Feelings. I saw that the other day. It was awesome. Speaking of Stewie from Succession, he has a very funny role in that.
What would be your highest rate?
Spoke about him before.
Would you guys rate that?
Sisu's very high for me. It's in the 90s. I'd have John Wick 4 ahead of it, but
yeah, I would Wick 4. Sisu's fucking really good, man.
Yeah. Huh. I'm trying to think like what like prestige.
I like
Air.
Air's
so.
Up there. Air's not in that Air's level. Like those are movies that I think will be like there at the end of the year. Creed 3 high up there for me as well.
Huh.
I hope Spider-Verse.
The more I've gotten away from Guardians, the more I like it.
I've stayed on the. I watched. I saw it again. I'm on the same exact level. Liked it. Liked it quite a bit, but like I really liked it. But I still think the end is like a little too. Are you sure you want this to end? Like at the end, I was wanted like Drax all of a sudden. Like James Gunn is moving on to the DC. It's like it just felt very. I hope. So. I hope we walk out of Spider-Verse tomorrow, and it's the best movie we've seen this year, though.
I do too, but I've set my expectations that it won't be as good as the first because the first is so fucking good. It's like
first is from one of the top three anime movies ever made for me, so it's a very hard top
comic book movies ever made. Yeah,
yeah, it's a hard bar to clear.
I'm really hoping for a good soundtrack. I think that's one of the more underrated.
Sunflower was so good in that.
Hope
have a good week at the box office, folks. We'll be right back.
It's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan Taylor pan at work and then the happy hour right after, the Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together, and of course, their denim, because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.